The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter Number 30, Text Number 5, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasatkikari, recorded on September 24th, 2011, in Copenhagen, Denmark.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Suparna Skandham Avrudha Meru Shringam Eva Ambuda Pita Vasa Mani Griva Kurvan Vitimira Disha Suparnaskantam Avrudho Meru Shringam Ivam Buddha Pita Vasa Mani Griva Kurvan Vittimaradisha Suparnaskantam Avrudho Meru Shringam Ivam Buddha Pita Vasa Mani Griva Kurvan Viti Miradisha Suparna of Garuda, the carrier of Lord Vishnu, Skandham, the shelter, Arudha, sitting on Meru, of the mountain named Meru, Sharingam, on the summit, Eva, like Ambuda, a cloud, Pitavasa, wearing yellow garments, Manigriva, his neck decorated with the Kastuba jewel. Karvan, making Vitimira, free from darkness, Disha, all directions. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The personality of Godhead, appearing on the shoulder of Garuda, seemed like a cloud resting on the summit of the mountain known as Meru. The transcendental body of the personality of Godhead was covered by attractive yellow garments, and his neck was decorated with a jewel known as Kaustubha Mani. The bodily effulgence of the Lord dissipated all the darkness of the universe. Purport. As stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Majja 22.31, Krishna Surya Sama Maya Haya Andhakara Yahan Krishna Tahan Nahi Mayara Adhikara. The Lord is just like the effulgent sun. Consequently, whenever the Supreme Personality of Godhead is present, there cannot be darkness or ignorance. Actually, this dark universe is illuminated by the sun, but the sun and moon simply reflect the bodily effulgence of the Supreme Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita 7.8, the Lord says, Pravashmi Shashishuryo, I am the illuminating energy of both the sun and the moon. The conclusion is that the origin of all life is the bodily effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is also confirmed in the Brahma Samhita, Yasya Prabha Prabhavato Jagananda Koti. Being illuminated by the bodily effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, everything is freed from all darkness. Vandeham Sri Guru Shri Jatapadakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganitanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivishakanvitamscha. So, God is the energy behind the sunshine and the moonshine. Of course, the moonshine being a reflection of the sunshine. God is directly the energy of the sun, and the moon is the reflection of that sun, which is the energy of the Lord. So, the Lord is the original illuminating power. The Lord is the dissipator of all ignorance. If we can come to Krishna consciousness, you see, then all the darkness, all the ignorance becomes dissipated. At the present moment in this material world, we are suffering in very many ways. We are suffering the pangs of birth, disease, old age, and death. We don't want to have to go through so many miserable conditions. But yet we are forced by the stringent laws of nature to suffer in many ways. But this is not natural. We don't like this condition because this is not our natural condition. Just as a fish is not satisfied to be on the beach, he wants to be in the water. So by our very natures, we are meant to be within spiritual consciousness, Krishna consciousness. The material society in which we are presently living goes so far as to deny the existence of God. Or if they accept his existence, they want to use him for their own selfish purposes. They don't take God as that person that they are meant to serve. They take God as that person who is meant to serve them. So even while approaching God, they hold on to their material consciousness. Material consciousness means I think I'm the center. That's called material consciousness. Spiritual consciousness means God is the center. Even if you approach God, if you keep yourself in the consciousness that I am the center, you remain in material consciousness. Unfortunately, most of the gurus, the swamis, the yogis, the priests, the rabbis, the imams, the ministers don't teach this principle. They don't understand what real spiritual life means, you see. Even though they take the position of guru or rabbi or priest, they don't understand what spiritual life means, you see. And therefore, in spite of so many churches, temples, synagogues, mosques, the whole world is in chaos right now, you see. It's in a chaotic condition. Because we are trying to make ourselves the center instead of trying to put God in the center. But the Isha Upanishad makes it very clear. Isha Vashamidam Sarvam Yat Kincha Jagajam Jagat Tena Chaktena Bunjita Magrita Kushasvidhanam. Everything animate or inanimate that is within the universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. Therefore, one should take only those things necessary for himself, which are set aside as his quota, understanding to whom everything else belongs. So if we can understand the Vedic principle, Ishavasha principle, you see, that God is actually the proprietor, God is the center, everything is meant for his satisfaction, that's how we become happy. People say, well, why God should be the enjoyer? I want to be the enjoyer. But they don't understand what is the relationship between the living being and God. Just like when you eat, the first thing to contact is the hand. The hand contacts the food. So what does that hand do with the food? Does it just try to digest it through the skin like this? No. The hand does not have the power to ingest the food or to digest it. The hand doesn't have that power. So the hand, it takes that food gives it to the belly. You see. It feeds it to the belly through the mouth, through the medium of the mouth. So God is like the belly and we are like the hand. If we try to enjoy separately from God, neither God will be pleased nor we will be pleased. The hand will not get the nutrition, nor will the stomach get the nutrition. You see. But if we will cooperate with God, just as the hand cooperates with the stomach, if we will cooperate with God by giving our service to Him, giving our devotion to Him, yat karoshi yat asnasi yat jahosi dadasi yat yat tapashashi konteya tat kadushvan vadarpanam, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, as well as whatever austerities you may perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering unto me. If we will agree to make God the center, this is Jesus Christ did, when He said, Father, not my will, but Thy will be done. Or as all the great Indian spiritual masters have done, the same principle. Let's see. Of completely giving yourself over to the service of the Lord. Krishna tells us in the Gita, that's what we're supposed to do. He says, Sarvadharman purit yaja mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarvapapebhyo mokshayishyami ma shuchaha. Give up all other principles centered around yourself and simply take up one principle and one principle only, and that is to serve me. That's it. Sarvadaman, give up all other concepts of how you can be happy in this world because they're false. Give them all up. There's only one way you can be happy, and that is to fully surrender yourself to me. You see? So if we take that mood and surrender to this Lord, okay, my dear Lord, although I call Him Krishna, Allah, Jehovah, there's the Supreme Person, who's the source of all existence, who's the Father of all living entities. So if I will surrender myself to that Supreme Person, fully giving my mind, my words, and my actions in His service, the result is that I will enjoy unlimited happiness. Bhaktaram jagatapasam sarvaloka maheshvaram suhridam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shantam richati. Krishna confirms in Bhagavad Gita chapter 5, text number 29, that one who accepts me as the actual enjoyer of everything, accepts me as the owner of everything, and accepts me as the best friend of everyone, katyavam shantam richati, he and he alone can achieve peace. You see? So we want to find a spiritual master. We have to find a spiritual master who's a pure devotee of Krishna. Because otherwise, what will he teach us? Some rituals? Rituals don't liberate you from this material existence. If you want to become liberated from this material existence, you have to find a liberated spiritual master who is living in a 24 hours a day in a mood of pure devotion to Krishna. You see? That's the type of spiritual master we require. So we can find out such a liberated soul who's fully absorbed in bhakti, pure bhakti, this Lord Sri Krishna, 24 hours a day. We surrender ourselves to Him. We put ourselves under His direction. And then by His mercy, and by the mercy of God, we become liberated souls. It's not difficult to become liberated from the cycle of birth and death. You simply have to find the bona fide spiritual master and then do whatever he says. That's all. Find the bona fide spiritual master. Do whatever he says. Sometimes we encounter a spiritual master who's not bona fide. That happened to me. I was initiated by one Indian guru. But his teachings were not proper. He was not teaching pure bhakti. He was not an example of pure bhakti. He was a money-making guru. Spiritual master has only one desire, and that's to give pure devotional service to his disciples. He has no desire to take anything from them. So how do we know the spiritual master is pure? We have to see what he's teaching. Is he teaching the message of the Bhagavad Gita without any changes? You see, it's very important to understand what is a bona fide spiritual master. We can understand by reading Gita very carefully what is a bona fide spiritual master. In Gita, chapter 4, text 2, Krishna says, evam parampara praptam brahma jarshayo vidu. This knowledge was thus received, through the chain of disciplic succession, and the saintly kings understood it in that way. So this is how we understand this knowledge. It is very carefully coming down in disciplic succession. This is what Krishna establishes in the Gita. The knowledge is coming in disciplic succession. That means Krishna is the original propagator of this knowledge. He gives it to his disciple, he gives it to his disciple. In this way it comes down over the ages without any change. This is called the parampara system, the system of disciplic succession. There is an unbroken line of succession going back to Krishna through Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma then gave the knowledge to Narada Muni, who gave it to Srila Vyasadeva, who gave it to Madhvacharya, and a whole unbroken line of teachers going all the way back to Krishna. So this is one way we can understand who is a bona fide spiritual master. We can see there's an unbroken line of succession going all the way from the spiritual master back to Krishna himself. Why is this important? Because Krishna is the original spiritual master. And one who is not connected, purely connected with him in disciplic succession, does not have the shakti, does not have the power, does not have the energy to liberate me from this material existence. Krishna is Mukunda, the one who liberates us from material existence. So for the spiritual master to be empowered to liberate us, he must be in an unbroken line of succession coming from Krishna. So we're very fortunate to come in contact with such a bona fide spiritual master, as I was when I met His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And we simply follow the teachings of that spiritual master, you see. Then our lives become successful. It's not difficult to become a liberated soul. You simply have to find the liberated soul and then follow him, follow his instructions. Whatever he tells you, you do it. You take his instructions as your very life and soul, you're already liberated. Practically speaking, you're already as good as liberated. You're already liberated. You don't have to wait for death to become liberated. See, in other religions, they teach, well, the time of death, you can enter the spiritual kingdom. But in Krishna, in the Vaishnava philosophy, you don't have to wait for death. You can enter right now. As soon as you take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and follow whatever he says without fail, become completely dedicated to the bona fide spiritual master, you're living in the spiritual world already. See, you may act in the material world, that's all right, to earn your livelihood as a worker, an administrator, a businessman, or a brahmana. That's okay. Because all of that work, the result of that work, is being offered to Krishna under the guidance of your spiritual master. Therefore, even though you're acting as an ordinary person in this material world, you're not an ordinary person in this material world. You're liberated soul. So it's a very practical system given in the Vedic scriptures how to come out of the darkness and how to come into the light. We are implored to do that. Tamasi ma jyotir gama. Come out of the darkness, come into the light. It may seem difficult because the darkness is so heavy in this Kali Yuga. It's called the dense darkness of ignorance. It permeates the entire universe of the present time. The dense darkness of ignorance. But this Srimad Bhagavatam that we are studying, this book we're reading, it is empowered to dissipate the darkness. Completely dissipate the darkness. So those who are suffering from the dense darkness of ignorance of this age of Kali, if they will hear from the bona fide spiritual master and from the advanced Vaishnavas this message of the Bhagavatam, they will be given enlightenment. They will be given light with which to see things as they actually are. In this Kali Yuga, we become bewildered into bodily consciousness. We are thinking, I am male, I am female, I am Kshatriya, I am Brahman, I am this. These are false designations. Lord Chaitanya very clearly states, as quoted in the Pajavali, he very clearly states, Nahang vipro, natcha narapatir, napi vaisho nashudro, nahang varni agriyapatir, natcha agriyapatir, in this way he says, I'm navanasto yatirva. He says, I am not any of these things. Kittaprajan Nikala Padamananda Purnapratabdeir Gopi Bhartu Padakamalayor Dasa Dasa Nudasa. I have nothing to do with any of these designations. I'm not a Brahmin, I'm not a Kshatriya, I'm not Vaishya, I'm not Shudra, I'm not Brahmachari, I'm not Grihastha, I'm not Vanaprastha, I'm not Sannyasi. I have nothing to do with these designations. Nothing whatsoever to do with them. I'm simply the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the two lotus feet of Krishna, who is the maintainer of the gopis. So we have to come to this transcendental platform and realize I am not this body. I'm not white. I'm not black. I'm not male. I'm not female. This is called Brahman realization. First understand your Brahman identity. And then take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master who can teach you how to become the pure devotee of Krishna. You see? We should not see the spiritual master, well, I need to have one that's like this. No. Well, he couldn't be a guru because he's from America. No. Spiritual master, if one sees the spiritual master in terms of bodily designation, then one is a resident of hell. One has to see the spiritual master on the basis of what is he speaking? Is it pure Vedic wisdom? And what is he doing? Is he absorbing himself 24 hours a day in pure Krishna bhakti? We have to study. And then we can understand a bona fide spiritual master. Not, well, he has to be Hindu, he'll be from a Hindu family, he has to be a Gujarati or this or that. No. We have to see the spiritual master not on some material qualification. If we see a guru on the basis of material qualification, we're never going to become liberated because we don't even understand what the first point about spiritual life, you see. Spiritual life begins when you come off of the bodily platform. You have to get off the bodily platform to become an enlightened person. It's not that you can maintain some bodily consciousness of Hindu or Indian or American or Russian or Christian or this or that. It's not that you can maintain some bodily consciousness and expect to realize God. You cannot realize God if you maintain bodily consciousness. One has to come to the transcendental platform, and then you can realize God. So it's a very important principle taught in this, in here, in what we've read today from the Bhagavatam. How Krishna is the light, and the ignorance is like darkness. If we come out of the darkness, then come out of ignorance. We have to become Krishna conscious, and to become Krishna conscious, we have to go to a bona fide spiritual master coming in unbroken line of succession from Krishna himself. That will qualify us to actually come out of the darkness and to realize our eternal identities. You see, I'm not a member of this family. That's an illusory identification. I'm not a member of a particular nation. That's an illusory designation. I'm not a member of a particular religion. That is an illusory designation. I'm simply the eternal servant of Krishna. That's my identity. The bona fide spiritual master brings me back to my original identity. He does not reinforce a false identity of myself. He brings me back to my original pure identity. That is the bona fide spiritual master. So we have to be very careful to find the bona fide spiritual master who can truly bring us out of the darkness and bring us into the light of Krishna consciousness. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Yes, Prabhu.
Prabhu, from how I understand it, it seems like the relationship between the bona fide spiritual master and the bona fide disciple is one of blind following. Like if one should accept whatever the spiritual master says, does it then one should be ready to follow a bona fide spiritual master?
So let me see. I don't quite follow that you're saying. Can you repeat that for me? I didn't quite follow the gist.
Well, you said that one should be ready to do whatever the spiritual
master says. That's right. What's the difference between that and blind following?
Yes, it seems that one should be ready to follow the spiritual master blindly, to be ready to do whatever he says.
So, the question is it proper to follow the spiritual master blindly? Is that the question?
To me, it just seems like...
Are you making a comment or asking a question?
Yeah, because I can't understand that one should be ready to do whatever the spiritual master says.
You can't understand that principle of doing whatever the spiritual master said?
I see that equivalence to blind following.
That's the equivalent of blind following. So, he's raising an objection. He's not asking a question, actually. He's objecting. He's raising an objection. He's saying that the idea of completely doing whatever the spiritual master says, to his vision, that's the equivalent of blind following, which is condemned in the Vedic system. So, he's saying, it appears to me that what you're speaking is not true, that it's contradictory to the Vedic conclusion. This is the point he's raising. But actually, he's wrong. But the point he's made is not true. Being willing to do whatever the spiritual master says, that is not blind following. Blind following is one who follows a charlatan, one who is not qualified to guide. That is called enlightened following. Being fully surrendered to Guru and Krishna is done with vision. Because, as Krishna says, tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadeng shantite jnanam jnaninas tattvadarshinaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching the spiritual master, inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. So you're meant to inquire, you see. When you're not allowed to ask questions, that's blind following. You are told you must inquire. Whatever doubts you have, if you have doubts and you act in spite of those doubts without really understanding what you're doing, that is blind. But if one has a doubt and says, okay, I'm supposed to inquire, just like His Holiness Vishnu Janaswami, and he was training me up in my early days, he said, your intelligence must be satisfied. If your intelligence is not satisfied and you act anyway, then you're a fool. You could be following a charlatan, you see. The intelligence must be completely satisfied. Then it is not blind. So whatever doubts you have, whatever confusions you have, these you must bring forward to the spiritual master and to advanced devotees. You must bring forward all of your doubts and let them be destroyed by the light of knowledge, you see. These doubts are compared to demons, the Madhu demon that Krishna killed. Krishna is called Madhusudana because he killed the Madhu demon. So Arjuna is asking Krishna that you kindly, he is addressing him as Madhusudana, to request him that you kindly kill these Madhus, these demons in my heart. So blind following means you have you just say, okay, let the doubt stay there, I'm going to go ahead and do the service. No, that's blind. But when you actually inquire from the spiritual master, understand exactly why you're doing everything you're doing, what's the purpose behind this, why should I do this, what is the reason, you have complete comprehension of why you should follow the order of the spiritual master in every circumstance. And then you're, it's called enlightened following and is not blind following. You understand? Okay. He probably already understood, but he was playing the devil's advocate to clarify for everybody else. Okay.
Most of the time, my consciousness is always in the background. It chants Hare Krishna. So sometimes, suddenly, it goes a few seconds out of the consciousness and it will think some material things and it will come back. So how to avoid that kind of things?
What is he saying?
He's saying that by chanting, the mind goes away, you chant and then you bring it back and mind goes away. So how to avoid that?
If you really want to get over the flickering mind, then you have to develop a taste for the holy name. That's the key. We say, well, you got to bring your mind back, but if your mind is not attracted to the holy name, then it's not going to stay. The way to keep the mind fixed in Krishna consciousness is you have to develop a taste. And that taste is developed by undergoing all the preparatory steps. You have to have faith in the process of Krishna consciousness. You have to associate with the devotees as much as possible. You have to be initiated by a bona fide spiritual master who engages you in executing the regulative principles of sadhana bhakti under his orders. That's the third step. And that by doing that, you become free of all unwanted habits. That's called nartanavritti stage. And then from there, you enter what's called nishta. You become subtly fixed to pakka Vaishnava, you see. Nishta stage. And then after nishta, then you can get taste. Then you can actually get the awakening of true taste to where the name is all attractive. It's just completely captivates your consciousness. It's so beautiful. It's so wonderful. It's so delicious. It's so satisfying. It's called Nama Ruchi. To really be fixed, you have to come to the Nama Ruchi stage. You see? Because otherwise, it's a constant struggle. Your mind's attracted to this, it's attracted to that. It's just going here, there, here, there, here, there, here, there. If you want to really become a liberated soul, you have to develop Nama Ruchi. So you have to develop Nama Ruchi by going through all the preliminary steps. Faith, association with devotees, initiated by a bona fide spiritual master, becoming free of all unwanted habits, becoming firmly fixed in devotional service, and then you can get taste, and your mind will just stay fixed. It won't wander. It won't dance around like a monkey, jumping from one branch to another. Okay? Any other questions? Yes.
So it is said that we hear that it is recommended that we go to the spiritual master and ask him what he wants us to do.
Absolutely, you should know. You should either he tells you already, or you have to find out. You have to know what he wants. That's right.
Yeah, but is it okay if we because he is also giving lectures? Yeah, so many lectures. So if we hear the lectures, and
he's saying, and he's already telling in his lectures. That's right.
Yeah, so if we are doing, you know, if we are trying to do some of the things that he is speaking, some of the services that he is mentioning, is that okay? Or
if he gives a general instruction, I want my disciples to do this, 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 then you do your best to do everything that he said. Why only part? Do all of it. Whatever instructions he has given to his disciples in his lectures, his books, his letters, etc. I want my disciples to do this, then it's your duty. Whatever he has said, you must do all of it, not just part of it. You must do all of it. How you can pick and choose? Well, this instruction of Guru Maharaj, I like this one, I don't like. No, you have to take everything he said he wants his disciples to do. Do all of it. Otherwise, your bhakti will remain incomplete. He says, I want my disciples to worship, do deity worship. You must do that. He says, now I want my disciples to study books. You must do that. I want my disciples to make devotees, you must do that. I want my disciples to develop pure love of God, you must do that. You must do all of it. Why just one thing? You do everything. And then you're perfectly situated. Okay? Any other questions? Yes.
Some days ago you mentioned intra yoga. Where is intra yoga?
What kind of yoga?
He's asking where is Indra Loka?
Indra Loka.
Oh, I said.
My question is, where is Indra Loka?
Which word? Indra Loka.
He's asking where is Indra Loka?
Indra Loka.
Indra Loka, the Loka, the planet of Indra.
Oh, that's in the upper part of the universe. You want to go?
No.
Oh, okay.
But as you like.
Hey, you could. This. It is in the upper portion of the universe. Yes. It's a heavenly planet.
Okay.
Yeah. He is the king of heaven, so his planet must be in heaven. It's like here, your prime minister, where is his office? It's here in Denmark, isn't it? He wouldn't be in some other place. So Indra means he's the king of heaven, so his planet or his abode is in the heavenly planet. Yeah. Any other question? Yes.
I've heard that, you know, sometimes some devotees, it is taking like, you know, 15 minutes or something they are taking for one round.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've heard that one devotee, for example, he started to think that, you know, he's an incarnation of Lord Ganesh.
One devotee thought that he was an incarnation of Lord Ganesh.
Yeah.
Where's his trunk? The speed is not so important. The most important thing is the quality. Speed will actually, as devotees in the beginning will naturally chant slower, and as they have more experience, they'll naturally chant faster. Just like I know when, just like if you're trying to learn a foreign language and you go to some country where they're speaking it, it sounds like they're talking so fast. You say, wow. Like it sounds like a million miles an hour. I was learning Spanish and in high school, and then I went, you know, we were going really slow, you know, and we'd learn, you know, soy, you know, estoy. You were learning it. We were very slow because we were just learning the language. You go to down, we cross the border to Mexico, and everybody's going, wow, it's amazing. They're talking so fast. Actually, all of us talk fast. In our native language, we all talk very fast. And a foreigner comes, it sounds natural. But for a foreigner, it sounds like you're talking from a million miles an hour. So one naturally, as one becomes, you know, experienced in chanting, then one's his speed will naturally increase. And it's not that speed is not the thing. The thing is the quality. Of course, if one's spending one hour for a round, obviously he's doing something wrong. You know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You'll probably fall asleep if you're chanting that slow. You know, Krishna. Another point is that if you chant too slow, it's like when you're driving a car. Let's say you're driving a car at 5 miles an hour. You're going, and it's like your mind can go everywhere. You're only going, if you're going 100 miles an hour, you really have to rivet it in, you see. On the Autobahn, people don't space out. On the Autobahn, they're like really intense, you know. So chanting fast is not bad. Chanting fast can actually help you to intensify your focus on the name. So actually, what is the Prabhupada actually recommended 2 hours a day, which is 7.5 minutes per round. And he also said that with practice, one could chant 5 minutes a round. So there's no hard and fast rule for speed. It's whatever works best for you. But if you're going more than 2 hours, you're of course, in the very beginning, that's another thing. But once you get once you're initiated, you should be able to chant your rounds in 2 hours. 15 minutes around. It's just impractical also. Someone says, well, I can't chant 16 rounds a day because I have to go to work, I have to come home and have dinner, I got to wash the dishes, this and that. There's no time to chant 16 rounds because it takes me 4 hours. You see? 4 hours would be hard for an average working person to manage in most countries, 4 hours of chanting. But 2 hours can be managed. That's why everybody should try to get their chanting down to 2 hours. You see? 7.5 minutes around. Or it can be even, with practice, you can get down to 5 minutes around. And in time. Because you just become very expert at, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Gadi Gadi, Nam Gadi, Nam Ram Ram, Hare Gadi. It just happens faster. You get more practice at doing it. You can say it faster with clarity, with practice. Any other questions? Does that answer your question? Okay. Yeah.
Does this have an imprint to Krishna when you use it on the street, when you are walking or anything?
Well, you can, those who ask me, well, can I chant rounds on a clicker? But the instruction given in the Bhagavad Gita, a purport, is to chant round the beads. So those who like to chant on a clicker while they're walking, what I recommend is chant 16 rounds at home on your beads. And then after 16 rounds, you can chant all day on the clicker, it's fine. But I don't recommend chanting the 16 rounds on the clicker because that's not what's coming from the acharyas. The acharyas have never given, no acharya has ever taught us to chant on the clicker. It's always been done on beads since time immemorial. So we have this modern-day Western civilization, invent something new mood. Some devotee introduced the clicker to ISKCON. When Prabhupada was here, no one had clicker. But some devotee introduced the clicker to ISKCON. And it caught on because the gift store thought we can make some more profit by selling clickers. So now it's, and we see clickerism going on. But it's not the system. It's not the system. System is to chant round the beads given by Prabhupada. Can you imagine at the time of initiation, spiritual master hands you a clicker? You see? No. Spiritual master gives japa mala. This is the system. Now, if you're in an emergency situation, you can chant in any way. It's like when I was in jail, I didn't have my japa beads. They arrested me for a horrible sin I committed. I was preaching, distributing Back to Godhead magazine. They threw me in jail for distributing Back to Godhead magazine. I didn't have my beads. They were back at the temple. So I had to chant my japa on my fingers, counting here on the sections of my finger. So sometimes you may have to use another thing. If you're arrested and there happens to be a clicker in the jail cell, then it's okay. And your beads are back at home and they arrested you for preaching. And you just happen to find a clicker in the jail cell. Then you could chant on a clicker, it's okay. But as a normal course, you should always chant 16 rounds on the beads. And then you can chant extra rounds on the clicker, as many as you want. There's no harm. But the 16 should be on the beads. Yeah.
Why should one chant?
Huh?
Why should one even chant on clickers on walking on the street?
Yeah, that's another point. I mean, I just said that because somebody may be attached. I spent money on this clicker and I hate to wait, I hate to waste my hard-earned money. But actually, you can chant at Prabhupada. I remember an old photograph of him arriving in Logan Airport in Boston, coming off the airplane with his hand in the bead bag, Why not just take your beads on the walk?
Because then I'm not sure. I have fallen several times on the street, and if I carry this in my hand, it's not sure for me. This is
what is she saying?
She's not
before.
Sure.
Huh?
She said it falls down from her hand and she does not know, so she's not sure.
But there are extra rounds anyway, it doesn't matter. But there are extra rounds anyway, it doesn't matter.
Oh, she falls down.
Yeah.
Oh, she trips and falls?
Yeah.
When it has to do with the beads, your legs
Anyway, as long as you sent 16 mounds in the beads, you're in good shape. And then you can use a clicker as much as you want after that if you have to. I personally, never carry a clicker. I always carry my beads. And if I want to chant extra rounds, I do them on the beads. Because there's more potency there than there is on a clicker. But the bottom line is covered if you'll chant your 16 rounds on the beads. Then your bottom line is covered. But I recommend, if possible, chant the extra rounds on beads too, because there's more shakti. There's more bhakti shakti when you chant on beads than there is on the clicker. Unless you absolutely have to use a clicker for the extra chanting, better to use the beads. We want as much bhakti shakti as possible. So chanting with beads has more potency than chanting without the beads for our japa chanting, is it? Why we even have beads? Everything we do there's a scientific reason behind it. The japa beads are bhakti amplifiers. They amplify the bhakti of our chanting. There's an extra potency that comes with that bead. Is it? Anything else? Okay, we thank you all very much for your coming today for Srimad Bhagavatam class. Please make this Krishna consciousness your life and soul. And if you do so, you will never see birth and death again. This will be your last lifetime in the material world. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Siddha Prabhupada ki jai.